That's Tom Petty, and that's called Somewhere Under Heaven. And don't I sound like I'm back selling a record, huh? I know how to do that, man. Excuse me, I'm undressed, but, you know, this is you and me. This is you, the subscribing BSP family member, and me, Daddy. I'm not doing anything that, you know, just coming out with my robe on. Anyway, fans on, sorry about the external noise, but I got to get it cool a little bit here. Yeah, that was cool. That was a good Tom Petty song. I don't know if that's new or old. I don't know. I haven't followed music so long. I mean, you know, in any, none of the classic rock guys I haven't followed. Oh, okay, that was a lot of talking, and I'm not sure I got anything accomplished. Welcome to the pre-show here for this. It's today, Wednesday. Tomorrow we go in studio with Brody and Guy and David and Kurt. That will be fun. Don't know. I never want to overthink these things. You know, you always want to be. Well, you know, as they say, in the moment, because I want to talk to these guys as a fellow traveler on this spaceship. Haha. But, see, the one thing that all of these guys have in common that I do not have in common with them is that their performing all was on stage. And all of my performing has been here, with rare exception, but, and what happened was, as our show and as my work gained in you know, popularity or just people found out about it, I attracted a lot of interest and fans and so forth from that world of entertainment, from the stage world and from the television world. And I had absolutely nothing in common with these people other than the fact that I said funny shit that they thought was really funny. Or I did funny stuff they thought was really funny. The radio world had nothing to say to me. Isn't it funny? I mean, I'm going to always marvel over this as long as I live. I'm telling you, for as long as I fucking live, I will marvel over this. That the radio world had nothing to say to me. And, you know, I know that what I've done here on this pre-show over the course of years is I know you guys may think that what I'm doing is repeating myself. No, what I'm doing is I'm publicly going through the exercise of churning and re-churning this earth to see if there's something I'm missing. You know, I am going through a very public process, which is usually a really internal process. It's nobody sees of trying to figure it out. You know what? Because, you know, the answer that I keep coming back to is that, and this is a tough thing to, you know, to realize, is that I was in the wrong business all along. That I wasn't in any business that was ever going to really, you know, sustain or support what I did. Because my whole goal in life had everything to do with only one thing, being the greatest radio personality in the fucking world. That was it. And people that have been in my life and wives, friends, have all said the same thing. You did it. I go, yeah, but I thought that I didn't know that it would be at the moment that I sort of achieved that would be at the nadir of radio's existence. You know, in other words, the whole goddamn industry was heading right straight into the fucking toilet, you know. And one of my friends very funnily, very humorously said, well, and you were the reason, you know. In other words, you achieved the greatest show. What else was there to do, Phil, to take the whole fucking thing right straight into the sewer, which is what you did. But yeah, as much as I'd like to take credit for that, I don't think I can take 100% credit for driving radio into the sewer. I think there probably was a few, you know, people that gave me help, and they're all suits. See, that's the problem that we run into here when we get into this analysis, because that nowhere in my analysis of the death of radio do I at all include in the player personnel sheet air talent. There's not one air talent, not one person. person on the list of people that fucked up the ass, the radio industry, and destroyed it from the inside out. There's not one person on that list who is an air talent per se. Every last one of them were suits. And they don't like that. They don't like being, they hate that. That is anathema. That is contrary to the way that they were trained as little suits to become big suits. We're never at fault. We never fuck anything up. It's that goddamn talent. That's how it always was. And now they're sort of stripped bare because the talent is off getting into business for itself, you know, surviving, doing what it can, and doing swimmingly. Those of us who've got a little bit of fucking talent, we're making our way. We're finding our way. We're, you know, sort of climbing up the fucking vines and getting away from the goddamn raging, waters of the Nile here as it sweeps everything away. We look down there and we see all those suits getting washed away. You know. But that's what I'm doing here. You know, that's what I do. So every now and again, I get into that thing, you know, with you and your pal. Oh, God, here goes Phil again. Well, that's just, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to, what in the fuck is it? See? One of these days, if I really give that much of a shit, which I doubt I will for much longer, somebody ought to have a panel at one of these radio conventions that they are still fond of having. And the panel will be, what killed radio? And I know what I'll say. And I'll have just reams of fucking information to back it up. I won't just go up there just some disgruntled air talent, which is sort of what they expect. Oh, well, you know, he's air talent. And they dismiss you. They do. They say, oh, well, was he on the air? Oh, he's that nut. I swear to God, it's the suits. You won't believe this, but they look at us as if we are part mental patient, part gypsy, part drug addict, all irresponsible. And you see a lot of guys bend over backwards to prove that they're not that, that they're really responsible. And you see them get real buttoned down and get, you know, they turn themselves into fucking party hosts. You know, that to me, that's what the average radio personality has become, like or did become, was just some guy who is good at, you know, waving a rubber chicken with a bow tie that lit up and looking like a clown. Looking like a fucking clown, you know. And the suit standing off there and, you know, part of them wishing they had the fucking talent to do that, and another part of them, because they don't have the talent to do that, and because that sort of hurts their feelings a little bit, they look down their foot. Now, look down their fucking nose. Now, not every suit is like this. You know, in my travels, I've mentioned Emil Corona in Orlando, Florida, the Milners in Miami, you know, Bob Green in Miami, David Hall, Rich Galano. You know, there's people that were in management, in ownership, not just general managers, but fucking owners of stations, and I mean the Milners and Mr. Corona, who really liked their talent. They really loved the sound of their stations, and they wanted to do everything they could to make this thing as living, you know, an organism, as living a model of great entertainment as they could. And I used to watch the Milners in Miami just kind of look at us like, what the fuck, you kids are nuts, you know. And they were both very old people, man. I mean, I say very old, you know. I think Gino Milner was pushing 70. I think Jackie, his wife, was maybe around 60. But both of them loved rock and roll. Fucking loved it. And knew it. I'm not just saying there were a couple old people that said, wow, this music's really with it, you know. No, they'd been living it for a long time. They'd owned that station for a long time. They knew how to go out and talk to advertisers. They knew how to go out and talk to the audience, you know, the business partners of the station, and they listened actively to the station. They knew what the station was about. So I loved them. And Mr. Corona at WORJ, he put his faith into the people that he hired on the AM and the FM, you know, and the programming of people that he hired. And when things didn't go right, he listened to what they said. They would recommend. We brought in consultants. I remember them bringing in consultants. I was just a disc jockey, but I'm sitting there watching all this parade, you know, this parade of... and, of course, today's suit would say, well, that guy should have been more educated and should have, you know, put the kibosh on whatever it was that wasn't working, and he should have started firing people, and he should have this and he should have that. Yeah, if he wanted to be just a bottom-line douchebag like most of you motherfuckers, but this guy wanted to see his station succeed, and he wanted to see his people succeed, and he wanted to continue to pay them, and he wanted to see them continually employed. You see, he didn't... You know, he was willing to take whatever great risk. I mean, good Lord, maybe the next quarter we may even see a drop of a percent in our earnings. You know, we may not make our number next year. We may miss our number by a half of a percent. And my cat's here.
Hey, baby. How you doing? You looking at a bug? Is there a bug?
What's a bug, huh? That's a bug down there. Looks like a bug.
Thunder's down here, and she sees a bug. I mean, that's what cats do. And the good cats, the top-notch cats, and I only know one kind of cat. Huh? I only hire one kind of cat in my organization. I want a cat that catches bugs, and I want to see no mice either. Mice? No. No rats, no mice. No hamsters. I don't know if there's wild hamsters. Is there a wild hamster? If they're wild, they go. They die. If it's wild, it dies. I told that to this thunder.
Is that right, thunder? Yeah.
See, so she's on it, see? Make no mistake. This cat, this thunder, is my kind of cat. And I get up in the morning and I give her a little bit of food. It's like that chopped up seafood or whatever that is. I don't know what the hell. It's kind of a, what do you call, tuna mix and this and that, right? What do you call it, Eddie?
The Friskies with it.
Yeah, that's it. I got it. Friskies, classic, right?
Yeah, the classic.
Classic. Don't ever go anywhere else. Get the Friskies classic. See? That way, you buy their loyalty. You buy their loyalty, and you buy their respect, and you buy their fear. Some people ask, is it better for you to be feared or to be respected? I don't know. This is something that's troubled me. I don't know. What do you think, Eddie?
Well,
never mind. Never mind, you're bothering me. You bug me. There she goes now.
Goodbye, Thunder.
She walks out. Doesn't even say goodbye to me. See, that's the kind of disrespect I would never allow that of my guys. I would never allow that of my guys. But a little cat disrespect me. Why? Why? Because the little tiny cat is all fuzzy with the ears, and it goes, meow. And you look at the thing and you go, what do you want from me? I pulled you out of a garbage can. I picked you up out of the sewer. You're running down the streets, wild as the wind, running with every kind of alley cat, every kind of tomcat. I picked you up out of the gutter, and I made you what you are today, a cat that eats Friskies classic. Ta-da! All right. So enough of this bullshit. 93 KHJ. And now, ladies and gentlemen, much more music with Bullshit 93 KHJ.
Calling out around the world. Are you ready for?
I give me a cat. I want one thing only from that cat. I want that cat to kill a mouse, kill a hamster, a wild guinea pig. Some guy says to me, I got a call from a friend of mine last week. He said, we got guinea pigs in the attic. I said, what are you saying? What? He said, I got a guinea pig up there. I said, what is a guinea pig? I don't know. He said, a little tiny rodent. I said, a rodent? You go get a cat for that. He says, that's what I thought. Just thought I'd call and check. He had wild guinea pigs, wild hamsters, and then there were wild rabbits, every kind of rodent. He had like those wild nutrias, whatever the hell that is. Things are about 18 tons. Walking around up there, chirping like a goddamn mouse. Like a fucking mouse. All right, I got to get my shit together here. So what we're going to do... What? Oh.
Calling out around.
So keep in mind what I've discussed with you here today. Please do not tell anyone what we together have decided. The things we've said today. You know, as the Beatles song goes, right? Is that, I don't know how it goes. I forget. Things we said today. You can't run away from it. By the way, recommendation, and I mean this sincerely, is a movie out called The 50 Best Horror Movies You've Never Seen. It's hosted, it was shot and hosted by PJ Souls. I watched it last night. It's the greatest goddamn thing you've ever seen in your life because it's 50, truly 50 movies. It starts out, you think, oh, they're going to give me a bunch of shit from the 80s, you know, some slasher gore shit. Yeah, they start out with the usual, you know, some of the Mung, some of the shit we've seen, you know, some of the Jason shit, woo, you know. But then they start getting up the list, and then they start getting into shit that is, like, right up my fucking alley. There's a movie out of Japan called Audition. I won't even fucking begin to tell you about it. There was another great film that was remade. I saw the remake. The original is called Let the Right One In. I saw a remake, an American remake, but wasn't bad, called Let Me In. But Let the Right One In is the original. I think it's Swedish. Way out there. Way, way fucking out there. It's about a little 11-year-old vampire girl. Let's just, you know. There's one called May. May is a girl. And what May does... Well, let me just put it to you this way. May collects things. Okay? Yeah. There is one... it's about a little girl. Now, this isn't May. This is another one. About a little girl who's a 14-year-old who meets a sort of a predatory dude on an online chat. And he gets himself invited over to the house. Well, what do you think happens? The tables are turned. And the little 14-year-old is the dominant one. And I think he's like a 28, maybe 30-year-old guy. And, well, let me just put it to you this way. He's going to be singing in a much higher range. Oh! So there's that. And everything in between. And then they also feature one of my favorites, Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead's in the top 20. Fantastic fucking movie. Don't even give me any shit about it. The Beast Within is in this. And the Beast Within is so fucking great because of the special effects. And one of the things about this list that the people that reviewed it were all to a person unanimous about almost was that it did not contain, none of these movies had any CGI. All these movies had what they called, they were practical. Do you guys know this term? Some of you guys that are in the film business or are film aficionados, they said, and by the way, the movies were all practically, they're all practical, meaning there's no special effects. There's no computer-generated special effects. It was all traditional sort of special effects, including stop-action animation, other forms of animation, good old-fashioned costuming, just good old-fashioned fucking badass, kick-ass costumes, and a whole lot of shit. Again, don't let this list fool you, because at the low end of this list are some real schlocky, cheesy, sort of what the reviewers called just carnival ride-type movies, just really fun, dumb movies. But it gets serious. It gets into the disturbing. And for me, there's nothing like a horror movie that's disturbing. You know, you can watch all the slasher movies you want. But the disturbing movies are the ones that make you think it can happen. And that is the horror that can happen is far, far more disturbing. And slasher movies, yeah, they happen, but they don't quite happen in real life. They don't happen the way they do in these fucking movies. And if they do, it's got nothing to do with the supernatural. It's got nothing to do with Jason coming back 900 times, right? All right, so there's that. Here's very interestingly, somewhere in the top 30, they trip back all of a sudden, boom, to Night of the Hunter. This makes the top 50 horror movies top best 50, the 50 best horror movies you probably haven't seen. Night of the Hunter with Robert Mitchum, which we are told was John Carpenter's major influence for Halloween. You know, I just want you to know that. Night of the Hunter, which I thought was kind of cool because, you know, they went, wow, are you serious? You know, did they do that just to pay homage to the 50? It's the only one from it's the only one before the 60s. There might be one from the 60s. Most are 70s and 80s and 90s and the 2000s. But Night of the Hunter's in there with Robert Mitchum. Charles Laughton directed it. The only movie that Charles Laughton ever directed, and he hit it out of the fucking park. The old-time actress, the fuck was her name? She's an old silent movie actress, and she's in it. Lillian Gish. Lillian Gish plays the grandmother who is trying to protect these two children. And they say that Night of the Hunter is a classic fairy tale type movie. It's a Hansel and Gretel type movie. It's two children escaping the evil force. You know, in this case, Robert Mitchum's, psychopathic preacher character. All right, so, and then I'm trying to think of, you know, I don't want to give any of it away. There's a lot of really cool fucking movies. The Sorority House Murders, they have in this list the seminal film, the films that inspired the movies. For instance, When a Stranger Calls, we all think, wow, when the guy called from inside the house, how fucking fucked up was that? Well, guess what? That device had been used in another movie a year or two before. I think it was 3 or 4 years before, actually, in this thing called the Sorority House Murders or something like that. They'd already done that. The cop was already on the phone going, the call is coming from inside the house. Okay, so that was ripped off. Then there was the foundational slasher movie they give as number one. And I'd never even fucking heard of it. I know you have. Probably you guys are horror movie freaks. Never fucking heard of it. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to make you go see the movie because I know how people get all pissed off when you spoil. So that's what I'm going to do. Like that. All right. Here's my man, Eric Dickerson. Man, I watched this guy run the football at Anaheim. Right there, that's Anaheim. My seats are on the camera side where we're sitting here. I watched Eric Dickerson all through these years. There's number nine. That's Jeff Kemp. Jack Kemp's son was the quarterback for a brief period. It was like watching OJ. That same kind of straight up and down running style. Shoulders square. Goddamn great. And I watched Dickerson break the single season record against Houston in 84. I think it was like the 14th or 15th game of the season. So, you know, I mean, everyone says, and they're right, O.J. did it in 14 games. It took Eric 15. Hey, you know what? And it took Roger Maris 160-some games to break the Babe Ruth record. No one gives a fuck. How about that? The pitching's much, much more difficult that Maris faced. And God knows the defenses that Dickerson was going up against were a little bit better than what my main man there, O.J. Adam Rank. Why? Because that's how he smells. Hey! Woo! Look at that, number 15. Is that Dieter Brock or is that... When it comes to the L.A. Rams having quarterbacks getting crippled for life, there's nothing like watching our offensive line. But look at this, man. They sure knew how to block for the running game. And there's the man who put it together. We beat the Giants in the regular season 1 year so fucking bad it was gorgeous. And then they turn around and beat us in the playoffs and made me want to pitch my fucking guts up. Giants beat us in the playoffs in 84. It was Dickerson again. I guess he must have. I saw him in the playoffs in 85 run against Dallas for 240 yards. God damn great. There's Kemp. Jeff Kemp. This is probably the best Kemp ever had it, man, with the Rams. But he just, his arm was a real turd. And I don't know. I just said, you know, that they ought to fire the guy.
Yeah, hi.
Okay, good. Cupid, draw back your bow. Aaron Schatz, Football Insiders. How about Football Outsider? Is that a Football Outsider? Is that what it's called? straight to.
So let me turn this off. I've got to tell you something. Everything that I've ever said to you. Yeah, let me tell you something, Phil. Everything I've ever said to you, I want to say this. And you take this to the fucking bank. And you can take this to the fucking bank. Phil, I want to say something. And I'm going to tell you, you can take this to the bank. I have never in my life. I got the horse right here. His name is Paul Revere. Can do, can do. This guy says his dick can do. Yeah. Hey, Phil, one of the things. When you look at these, you think I'm out of my mind. I'm not out of my mind. I'm trying to tell you.
And you're trying to tell us what?
I'm trying to tell you.
I hate movies that, you know, are musicals. And really, the people shouldn't really be singing it. Oh, yeah, never mind. I'm not making any sense. They sometimes they'll have musicals where the people should not be. Oh, man, use some fucking underarm deodorant, Jack. Have you ever heard of underarm deodorant? There's no question the Rams just got cooler when they went to St. Louis. There's no question at all. When the Rams went to St. Louis, they got fucking awesome. Their uniform looked better. The players, obviously, their fucking offense was... they won the Super Bowl. 5 years after they left L.A., or four, whatever the fuck it was, they won a Super Bowl. There's no question at all. And it would have been great to have celebrated that with them, but they were the St. Louis Rams. Do I live in St. Louis? No, I do not.
Well, you're a Miami Dolphin fan, and you don't live there anymore.
Yes, but I used to live there. So, all right, what else, you whore? What? Where is it, man? Come on, bitch. Come on, homie. And then we're going to get our shit together here. Anyway, folks, it's great to be with you. Thank you for joining the show. I'm just looking for my main man here, Doug Danger. And then maybe we need to field the crickets there with Bud, with Steve Bozell in the cricket field. All right. And what do you want to bet that, just as I thought, you cunt. Wait a minute, I already got that, yeah. 9. All right. Ready? Come here. Here we go.